All right. Good morning, church.
Good morning, bro.
Well, we survived another one. It's good to be home. You know, around Wednesday, you start dreaming about Sunday. Oh, I'm sorry, Saturday. It's like, it's home. We're almost there. Keep going. If you're visiting with us again, I want to welcome you to the New Jersey region of the New York City Church of Christ. It's just great that we're back together. All, you know, as one region to worship. You know, God is moving and continuing to guide us, to teach us, and to direct us and show us ultimately all the way home.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we forget this world is not our home. We're literally just passing through. That might mean 50 years, 60, 70, 80 years, but we're just passing through. And it's just good to be reminded of that. You know, the theme of this year's camp was marvelous, taken from a passage in Psalm 71, verse 17, and it reads, "Since my youth, God, you've taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds."
Amen.
"Even when I am old and gray," or old and white,
come on, bro.
"do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation."
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I love about God is that God always has the future in mind.
Yeah.
He didn't just get his people and say, "Okay, we're going to do our thing." But he was like, "Here's my people. I want you to get it. I want you to internalize it. But then I want you to turn and I want you to give it to the next generation."
Right. Yeah.
So that year after year, century after century, God's people are thriving and continuing to carry on his will and his plan. And today, we have a couple of teens. I want to invite the teens to come on up, and a couple of young teens and preteens to come on up that I asked. Where's... Okay, we got Tristan, Josie. I'm going to share their experience from camp, Tristan and Isabel, and then we got Caleb and Bianca we're going to share what they learned from this year's camp. We'll let Tristan start it off.
All right, Tristan. Go, Tristan!
Okay, wait, let me just open it up. Okay, so as I said, so when it came to camp, something that kind of like changed my life and just put it more into like a different perspective for me was just the fact that I've never been so involved in the camp or like others, and like this camp was kind of different. And so I think a lesson that really kind of struck me was, it was called Wolverine by, I think it was James Warren.
Yeah.
I think so.
Right.
So basically, it was just about how God heals wounds that were inflicted by sin, and like how, you know, us inflicting it on other people and other people inflicting it on us. And when I saw the list that he had made, it kind of just like, there were a few things that just reminded me of who I used to be. So some of them were the lover of self, the unforgiving, the slanderer, the coward, the unbeliever, the liar. And for me, I just kind of really dug myself a ditch that I didn't exactly want to leave, because I felt like I belonged there. And I never really told anyone, or I just kept it to myself until, you know, recently. And sometimes, even now, I still act like the same person. Like just recently, there was a a woman on the street, and she was just begging for people to give her son some food or just some kind of scraps they had. And I walked past her, and this was in Manhattan. So I just walked past her, and she then asked me, and I saw her begging, and I kind of froze up, and I just kept walking. And so, I mean, I just decided to walk away, and I mean, I went to a Panera to get some food, and then I had something left over, so I came back, and she was gone, and so it kind of haunted me. So, also, even before that, before I got baptized, I was the manipulator. The people were my puppets, and I the ventriloquist. Nobody really knew that I was using them to give myself a more comfortable life. And even my parents, I kind of used them too, but ever since that day where I decided to become the manipulator, I hated myself. And this lesson just showed me that I still needed repairing, and that it was pretty hard for me to realize that. And I just realized that, like, being involved in other people's lives, it's a game changer, and that this past self, I could completely ignore it. I could stop becoming the performer of deceit. And I'm not this anymore.
All right.
I bought this. I left it behind. I kicked up the dirt from the floor. Even though I was told before that I'm still the same person. But I've never thought that I was the same person, because God worked in my life and He really made me now. And I'm so happy about that. It's just, I'm just, you know, a teen like any other. But I just want to be a light for people, you know, a light for people who want to go into the path of God. And I really want to help others with their struggles. And for camp this year, that's really done that for me. I've been a part of, I think, three studies and like one quiet time, but I didn't even realize like I could actually like be involved in that. I'll admit, when I kept looking to Ross when I was in one of them, and I kept thinking I was about to say something stupid or wrong, so I kept looking to him, but apparently I was saying wise man.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Izzy, and I'd just like to start off by reading a scripture. Psalm 72, verse 17 in the New Living Translation says, "May the King's name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun shines. May all nations be blessed through him and bring him praise." When I read this scripture, I immediately thought of camp. We come from all over and worship constantly with lessons, prayer walks, singing circles, and quiet times. We have tons of fun praising God all week, and it's an experience I wouldn't trade for anything. I learned so much at camp, and it's impossible to share it all in just a few minutes. The theme of camp this year was marvelous, like Will said, and we spent time talking about how awesome God really is. It was mentioned that we were very lucky to be able to go to a camp like this, and I completely agree. Recognizing that reminds me of the theme scripture, Psalm 71:17, which reads, "Since my youth, Lord, you have taught me, and to this day I will declare your marvelous deeds." It also reminds me of Matthew 14, verse 27-29, where Jesus calls Peter to walk out on water. It inspires me to be more outward with my faith and leave my comfort zone so that God's work can be done. I learned that I need to be connected to prevent a civil war from happening inside of me and with others, because conflict is a powerful thing. I learned that, unlike Professor X, God does not have to read our thoughts, because like it says in Psalm 139, He already knows them. I learned that no one has the right to label anything unless they are the manufacturer, owner, or purchaser. And Jesus is all three, so he's the only one who can label me. I learned that although sinning may be your activity, it is not your identity and it doesn't define you. I was reminded that unlike Hulk, God has never lost a battle and he never will. I learned that unlike Wolverine, God can heal others, and he does every single day. I learned that just like the Phoenix, I have more power than I can imagine, but I have to learn to control it. I was reminded that I don't have to face storms on my own, and that God is always there to help. I was told that we all have the ability to be great and make an impact beyond our lives. I was told that all it takes is a purpose, perseverance, and perspective to be great in God's eyes. I learned that while Captain America has a dented shield, God has a shield that cannot be broken. Most importantly, I was reminded that God is the ultimate and absolute best superhero, and with him on your side, you will not fail.
My name is Caleb, and I'm a preteen. I was expecting camp just to be normal like it was last year, but... What's the funny?
I see you, dummy.
This year was different, though. I saw that there was a lot of power behind the words, and God was just everywhere. He was with me through wherever I was going, everywhere in my life. Even when I was at rec time, really, with everyone else, God helped me. God helped me to be with others, even during tasks that were a bit more troubling for them. Yeah. This time I was a bit more moved by God's words for me and his plans. And I just pray for you all to have a great rest of the year.
Loves me even if I make him cry or I make him really angry. One scripture that helped me is in Romans 8:38-39, where I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. This helps me remember that even if I make a mistake and I feel like my whole world is coming down and I do something really, really bad and my parents get really mad at me, God loves me and he'll help me get through.
You know, every time I think about camp is a part of the process. It's a part of helping our children ultimately come to faith. It's a small part, but it plays a big part in their minds and in their hearts. I remember running into a kid whose mom had, left the church years ago. And first thing he said to me, he said, "How's Busta Righteous doing?" And some of you are like, "Who's Busta Righteous?" It's Raheem Hicks. You should have the dreads and, sound like Busta. Busta is a rapper. Anyway.
Who is no longer in there.
But what was in this kid's mind was camp. And camp is, again, it's just it's a part of the big deal. It's a part of the big plan that God saw fit to put it in our minds to have camp. And these camps are really, it's magical what happens in a week's time.
Yes, sir.
Amazing kids from completely different upbringings, backgrounds come together and they bond and connect. And it's really unbelievable. You know, when you think about it though, ultimately, what is this really all about? Ultimately, my desire, my prayer, my dream is that my kids will one day, and one day, grandkids, in a very, very long day away, great-grandkids, will come to faith, and that they remain faithful to God all the days of their lives. Parents, isn't that what you want? Isn't that what you want to see in your life? When you turn around and you look at your family, you want to see faith passed on to the next generation. And God decided that he would use you, in some cases, to initiate that. Or now you're kind of in line. And so what's really, really important in everything that we're doing, whether it's camp, whether it's church, whether it's preteen, young teen activities, whether it's the youth and family devotionals, is I want to focus on my relationship with God.
All right.
And I want my kids to develop and focus on their relationship with God. And really understanding this is what they're going to need to make it all the way to the end. And this is what I'm going to need to make it and stay faithful. Because, as I said before, we're just passing through. This world's not our home.
Right.
We got something somewhere beyond the blue that's so much better than what we see right now. And what we see is awesome. I mean, look at this room. It's amazing. Amen. You look out and see what God's done. But let's not forget the point. It's about a relationship with God.
That's right, right.
Let's look at one man's relationship with God. We're going to do this rather quickly. Turn to Genesis chapter 5, verse 20. 21. Genesis 5, verse 21. Let's read together. Years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God, then he was no more because God took him away. Now you talk about a relationship with God. I think this is a good one right here. If you go to Hebrews chapter 11, let's turn over there, because in Genesis, basically that's all it says about Enoch. But in Genesis 11, I'm sorry, Hebrews 11, thank you for listening. And Hebrews 11, Enoch's name is brought up again. In verse 5. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Enoch walked with God. You know, we have been talking about this theme over the summer, faith in action. Faith in action. Here we see a man displaying faith in action. The Bible says that he walked with God for 300 years. Now, it's kind of interesting because it seems like after he became a parent, he saw his need to walk with the Lord. Like many parents here might agree. You have a kid, it's time to start walking with the Lord. Well, hopefully you walk with the Lord beforehand, but when you have kids, you most definitely need the Lord.
Amen, bro.
But here's the thing. It says that Enoch walked with God 300 years. Can you imagine? You get up each day. I'll meet you over at McCombs. And we're going to walk around. And you know, Sarah, that's one of her, you know, walking spots. She'd go to McCombs and you walk around. And sometimes I'll go over there. And I notice every time I go, there's always a group of ladies with the carriages. And they're pushing the babies. And sometimes, you know, I'm walking behind or I'm a little ahead. And you hear them talking. And they're talking about being new moms and what he did last night and how she slept and how this one did that, you know, and it's all about the kids. And it's lovely when you hear parents talk about their kids. You know, I can imagine God just loving to hear from his kids. And that when he and Enoch were together, it was just like, wow, I get to hear what my boy has to say. I get to hear what's on his mind. Let's turn to the next screen. Yeah, video. I want to share a little video here.
Oh, tickle daddy. Tickle daddy. Tickle daddy. Give him a kiss. Go give him a kiss. And a hug. Give him a hug.
Aww. I love you. I love you.
They went to computer. I thought you were going to watch Daddy Daycare.
You know, I love spending time with my kids. I think every parent does. God loves spending time with you. Do you love spending time with him? Do you get up and you keep, I cannot wait to talk to my daddy. Got so much to tell him. You know what? That's how we should feel. Right? I gotta be honest, I don't always feel that way. I'm just happy to get up. And I'm hurting in places that I hadn't hurt before. But boy, when you get down on your knees and you remember, okay, what is this all about? He exists. He is real. I can't see him. I can't hear him. I can't touch him. But I know he's alive. Enoch believed that God is. You and I think we're beyond that. We believe God is. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. But then he says that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You know, two things I want to talk about in relation to walking with God that I want us to remember. The first thing is reconciliation. You know, when Adam fell in the garden, things just went downhill from there. You know, sin comes in the world, and I mean, it was crazy. By the time it got to Enoch, Enoch was dealing with stuff himself, as we'll read a little bit earlier. But there's a scripture in Amos chapter 3, verse 3. You don't have to, you know, you can jot it down. It says, do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? You know, when you and I decide to walk with God, it's not because God needed us. It's because we need God. We're harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, and we need him to help us. And so when we decided that we would walk with God, and he decided to allow us to do so, wow, we became reconciled. And we said, God, you know where to go. You know the way. You know how to have a great marriage. You know how to build a great family. Your way is the way to go. So I'm with you, Lord. And you then decided to give up your rebellious ways because you know in and of yourself it's going to lead you to a place you don't want to be. Right?
Yep.
And we know as disciples of Christ, because of Jesus, man, we get to be in this right relationship with God, not because of what we do. Not because we decided to study the Bible. Not because we decided to repent. Not because of we became more giving and sacrificial. It's all because of what Jesus did that we then get this right relationship with God and we get salvation. Now, I'm responding because I'm just grateful to be reconciled to God. You know, the second thing that happens in that walk with him is we surrender. We surrender. Surrendered people do not fight. Did you hear me? Surrendered people do not fight. Why? Well, because they've given up. They've realized, my way didn't work. Your way works. Jesus Christ is the most incredible example of what it means to walk with God, especially through difficulties. And see, church, we have to keep being reminded, who are we following? Who is the example? Who set the pace? Jesus. So when the times of trial come, when the discouragement comes, I got to get my mind and my heart back on Jesus and say, how did he do it? Where did he get the strength? What did he do? How would he act or, you know, respond in this situation? So that I keep remembering, that's the example. And Jesus, oh my goodness, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he shows you and I, here's how you go through some stuff. Boy, how many of us have been disappointed? How many of us have been sinned against? How many of us have sinned against others? How many of us been lied to, betrayed? How many of us have been disappointed or treated harshly by a leader in the church. What's the point? Jesus shows us how to go through and deal with all of life. Because you and I are going to be on both ends of those spectrums. Right? And when you don't mean to do something, boy, you feel terrible about it. That someone felt that. And you've got to forgive yourself. But then there's sometimes you've got to give forgiveness. You know, that doesn't happen if you're not surrendered. Jesus says, watch and pray, Russ, so that you won't fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Right? We got to keep remembering. If we're going to walk with God like Jesus walked and showed us a great illustration of surrenderance, we can't do that on our own. We need his power. Let me ask you a question. Is there a burning desire in your heart to please God? Or are you more motivated to get things done for yourself? That's a question I gotta always keep going back to. Am I trying to please God or am I trying to please Russ? Because it's a whole lot better to please God than to please Russ. Turn your Bibles to Jude chapter 1. Because there's only one chapter in Jude. If you're like, wait a minute, bro, is that chapter 2? Jude chapter 1, verse 14. And I'm going to ask my dear friend Manny Abraham to come on up this time. Verse 14, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about them. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all of them of all the unrighteous acts they have committed and their ungodliness and of all the defiant words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. You know, the Bible teaches here that Enoch preached for God. Now, I don't know where Jude got this from, but the fact that Jude got it, this is inspired. This came from God. This was a message that got trickled on down. But when you walk with God, a natural progression is to preach for God. And that's what Enoch was doing. He was preaching for God. You know, one of the things I think that was so pleasing to God was that Enoch's faith wasn't just something he felt in his heart. I feel in my heart this. I feel in my heart that. If it's in your heart, it should be coming out of your lips also. And it should also be seen in how you live your life. You know, my grandmother would say, man, talk is cheap, man. Talk is cheap. Anybody can say anything. But what are you doing? That's really the issue. Almost every year since 2013, that was our first year at Camp Hope for Kids. Okay, almost every year, we would come back from camp and something would be created. It was something new that's happened. Well, this year, we didn't really create anything new. We started thinking back and we were like, guys, how long have we been doing this? Since 98. We said, let's go back. What were the themes for every camp since 1998? And obviously, we had a short list, and we were getting on the phone, and we were reaching out. And so we started talking to people who were on the phone. So we got a list of every camp from 1998 to present. And I was sitting there thinking, oh my goodness. Can you imagine the number of kids that have come through the camps? The number of kids that have heard the word, the number of kids that have seen things, and it's just so incredible. So then I get a text that one of these kids
had just become a disciple. And Manny's going to share about this kid.
Morning. I want to share with you one of the kids we worked with. His name was Vernon. And Vernon is to my, slowly over to the left here. And next to him is Michelle Johnson. And we worked with Vernon. I knew Vernon a long time. He grew up in the church with his mom and stepdad. And I knew him when he was 11 years old. He was a preteen. And he was the kind of kid that didn't necessarily want to come to church, but came because that's what his parents did. They brought him to church. And I knew him because I was working with the youth ministry as a Rutgers College student in Central Jersey in 1992 with Chris Grion. And Chris actually met his mom, Karen, in college. And that's how she started coming out. But as a teen worker, I felt that he was truly testing me through the times that I was with him. And I thought it was all in my head. He's just testing you. And I thought, well, Manny, you're just making that up. Well, I had a conversation with him last night, and it wasn't in my head. He was truly testing me. Other team workers that worked with him, Michelle Hardiman, the Asherbrenners were team workers at that time, Sam and Laura Garrison and others as well. And the thing I remembered with him is I had a car and I would drive him to various events. The problem is I was a poor college student, and in my car, in the back, I had a big hole in the floorboard the size of a lemon. And it was, they called me the Fred Flintstone car because you could literally see the street from the back seat. And as a team worker, I was looking out for the safety of my kids, so I put a thin floor mat right over the hole to make sure that they were protected. That was a joke. Yes, I did put a floor mat. And the thing I remembered about Vernon is him and his friends, for fun, when I was driving them to a teen event, would take objects and throw it down the hole and then look in the back and see those items in the street, and they would laugh and have a good time. They thought it was really funny. I didn't think so because it was my personal items in the car that I was throwing down in the hole. You know, as you can imagine, there were times where I wondered, am I really making an impact on this kid? And I doubted myself. You know, when we brought him to camp, we did this thing called cabin IDs where you have to, you know, for those who remember the cabin IDs, right? You would have to announce yourself either through song or skit, and each person had to announce themselves. And, you know, for example, you know, my name is Todd and I love God, you know, that type of thing. But his name was Vernon. What rhymes with Vernon? And we kind of stood up late night trying to figure it out. And the only thing we can think of was, the Holy Spirit got it burning, and I'm burning. I haven't seen him in about 20 years, but I got to speak to him last night. And I asked him what he remembers from when he was a youth during that time. And he said two things, and I want to share these two things with you. First, he said to me, he remembers the love we had for him and the time we spent with him. You know, the question of, am I really making an impact on him? And not just me, and others as well. And he appreciated that we wanted to spend time with him even though we did not have to. And he remembered that even from his youth. And then the second thing he said was something that he wants me to share with the youth. So if you're a preteen, young teen, teen, and everyone else for that matter, he said, you know, if you're having a difficult time, or when you have a difficult time, when you're feeling sad, or you have pain in your heart, he says, go to God. Build that relationship with God now. Even if your parents don't understand or everyone else, you can go to God with that pain and ask him for help. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. I got this text from his sister just a few weeks ago. Morning, Krista, was sent to my wife, Krista. I wanted to share some good news with you and Manny. Vernon was baptized yesterday. Karen and Tom, his parents are on Facebook, so I wanted to hear, share this with you. We watched on Art's phone. It's been encouraging to hear how his heart has changed. Vernon was 36 in January. And he says, this gives me so much hope for my son and so many others. Hope you are doing well, enjoying your summer. How many of yours are at camp this week? We love and appreciate all the time you two poured into our kids when they were younger. It wasn't easy, we know, but they acknowledge how much you love them, Kelly. You know, to end this off, now that he's baptized, I could truly say in front of you, the Holy Spirit now really has him burning, and he is burning.
Amen. You know, guys, when you walk with God, you can't do anything but talk for God. Now Vernon's talking for God. My encouragement to us, walking with God is about faithful living. Meaning I get knocked down, get back up. And I'm not going to stop until my time comes. Enoch walked with God, he preached with God, God was glorified. Let's remember that it's just not about us. We got little people looking behind us that we can't even see right now. Let's continue to walk with God and make God known. So your son, amen.
We had a senior moment there. Let's all stand up and sing.